Hello and welcome to season 2 of The Lost World of Short Stories. I am your host, Lauren Tate, and I'm so happy to be back. How are you guys? I hope you're well. I hope you're excited for the things we have in store this season. I hope you guys peep the new cover art because it's gorgeous and it's designed by my father, Daryl Tate, and you can find out more about his work at warrior-graphics.com. I'll put it in the bio. He's a graphic designer. He's amazing. He does all my covers for my books, as well as he'll be doing all the covers for season 2. So that's been a really great partnership. And, you know, just the fact that we are here for a season 2 means you guys care about this podcast. It's doing something for you, whether that's the poetry, the interviews, the black women, right? Or if it's just all of it, it's all of those things for me. And I have to say that deciding to do this podcast, I have been learning so much about works of art that black women have created and are creating. I started this podcast so that we have more representation as black women, so that we have a safe and wholesome place to be ourselves and feel seen and be heard. And that matters to me, you know, so that we have those things and that it is a avenue for black women to come and to have a space. And the fact that you're all here, you have showed me, you know, that it matters to all of you as well. And I just want to say hello to my male listeners, because we have quite a bit, which is amazing. I was very surprised at the percent of male listeners that I have. So I'm very excited about that. Yeah, like I said, I wasn't expecting that at all. But that is awesome. That is amazing. Never thought that would happen, but I am so glad that you guys are here. I think one of the best things to see for people who aren't black women is the support of black women, right? Knowing that you stand by us, knowing that you care, that our issues and our lives and our stories matter inside and outside of our community. So thank you to you guys. I just thank everyone in general just for jumping on board, for sending in submissions, for writing reviews, for sharing with other people to be on the podcast and to listen, and just the people who have been like in the thick of it with me for season 2, behind the scenes before we actually aired. Just thank you, because this season is it's been a lot of different things in a way, and new skills, new tools that I've needed that I'm just like picking up as I go along. So, you know, you make a few mistakes, but you get it right, and that's what matters, and it ends up being beautiful afterwards. So here we are. So just thank you, thank you, thank you. Y'all know I can never say it enough. This season, I really wanted to explore more literature, obviously, written by black women. Literature that we don't really see, that goes overlooked, and from different parts of the world. So this season, you know, you'll be hearing from a comic book author from Iowa, a Christian singer from Paris, France, and author of a graphic novel from Ireland. And even today's episode, our interview feature resides in Montreal, Canada. And because in case you didn't know, you know, black women live all over the world. And I hope my desire for this season is that this podcast inspires black women of all ages from all over the world who are writers and authors and poets and storytellers to know that the Lost World of Short Stories can be a place for you to explore, to try out something new, and always, you know, just to tell your story. That being said, I'm going to get the ball rolling because we have 4 short poem features, and then our lovely interview feature singer-songwriter Chewy discussing her EP titled Black Skin Lullaby, which is the name of this gorgeous episode as a tribute to her. And she even talks about her single Dance Through the Pain near the end of the interview. And so I'm just going to be quiet and return very briefly in this episode. And I hope you guys enjoy.
Hi, this is Tatiera Herndon with my poem February from my book The Blacker the Berry, The Deeper Her Blues. Though our crises never ended, we tend to forget them as February comes and goes. Our black children are only ever told of Malcolm X and Martin Luther King, but the black women in their shadows are never seen. We forget about 2014, when Flint's water became too tainted to drink. Lead reduced fertility, caused cognitive deficiencies, something we'd never see in any white community. We forget about how being black affects us mentally, brainwashed to think we are too strong to feel, trudging through the trauma that is too severe to heal, leading us farther downhill, raising the suicide rates among black children who assume it is better to give in than live their black lives. We lost ties with Black Lives Matter, as all lives began to shatter the chapter for us. We forget about us as we fight amongst ourselves, as black men only see black women as shallow wells to drink from, as misogynistic music plants the seeds these young boys feed on, and these black girls learn that they are not equal, that they are hardly even seen as people, land of the free, yet we've never known freedom from within these bodies. Watching white girls appropriate, though they could never copy the grief. They could never know what it's like to be me. They could never know what it's like to be seen as other. Wanting to cover up this color in that yellow foundation. Wanting to comb out my kinks, keep my nigga hair tame. Wanting to change my name so those white folks can say it. A big thanks to 2015, say her name. Shall no black woman ever again die nameless. Shall no black woman ever forget her greatness. Shall no black woman ever die in vain as we build a space for me too. Because we deserve to speak of the abuse. Because we deserve to be free too. Because we deserve to be heard and not seen through. We deserve to love this body in which we grew. We deserve to be loved. We deserve to love each other. We do not ever have to suffer alone. We do not ever have to suffer at home. We do not ever have to watch our tone. We do not ever have to tiptoe. We are not simply here to exist, so let's spark a fire.
The Black Girl Dies in This One by Soumaya Anyuji. She always does. Has gender shoved down her throat and then blamed for the gagging. Blamed for all the grief she coughs up. If she won't wear this trauma like a noose, then she has picked the wrong size of brown girl suffering. If she isn't shaped like an hourglass, then how will she know when her time is up? Black girl is ticking with untapped rage about how her worth is reduced to a BLM highlight on an Instagram page, about how each Pinterest board that has her skin as an aesthetic is just another nail in her coffin, or her cross, or whatever else they will choose to bury her in. Black girl has dreams beyond surviving, despite the bloodshed, but she cannot wake up from a nightmare she was born into. If she is always trying to unlearn this rage around the clock, how will she know when her time is up? Her time is up.
Hi, this is Tatia Herndon with my poem, Our Mantra, from my book, The Blacker the Berry, The Deeper Her Blues. I supply life to a beautiful youth with these baffling colors that are always in bloom. As these feelings flow blue and this spirit grows green, this heart burning red and these colors all bleed to brown. My brown skin, my brown so deep they drown within it. My brown lips, my brown orbs, my native tongue, my brown aura, my black trials, my past ties, my matted roots that never die, my black kin, my blackness, my bloodline that never dries. My mother's eyes, my soul food, my southern blues, my soul tunes, my granny playing her old school, my melody, my melodin, my kinky locks cascade my head, my box braids, the mane I wear, Solange knows, don't touch my hair, my thick fro, my pick comb, my mama's lap I lied upon, my cornrows, my pink berets, my growing up, my nana's blessings, my black essence from which I sprout, wearing my blackest beauty out, hear my colors within my song, and never forget the beauty in all these shades.
I Strut in My Skin by Shanae Griffith, read by Destiny Shireen. I strut in the skin that I am in. Black skin, melanin. I strut in the skin that I am in. Dark brown, glowing in the sun. I strut in the skin that I am in. Unapologetically, rightfully, naturally me. I strut in the skin that I am in, confidently, undoubtedly. I strut in the skin that I am in, black skin, melanin.
I really enjoy this lineup because after the year that we have had as black people, as black women, you know, I was just reading, obviously, and knowing about it in the world, but we have specifically had to witness alarming acts of violence, right? From the murder of, you know, Breonna Taylor to just often being overlooked in conversations of racism and sexism, though we face a sufferable amount in each of these issues. You know, it usually feels as if black women are constantly feeling the effects of a just an awful society, a wicked society that devalues us on a daily basis. You know, that just kind of puts us up on a shelf and doesn't care, you know. And Sumaya's poem, The Black Girl Dies in This One, really touches and explores that. And my favorite lines from that poem is that, you know, there's a piece where she says, if she won't wear this trauma like a noose, then she has picked the wrong size of brown girl suffering. And then there's another part in there where she says, black girl has dreams beyond surviving despite the bloodshed, but she cannot wake up from a nightmare she was born into. Right. And to me, that just reminded me of how so many black women have and are fighting to reclaiming a life for themselves that have been dictated by others, you know, scheduled and demanded by society, and not everyone makes it. It's important to be grateful and, you know, just for the things that we have now, even if it might not seem like a lot. And just remember that you are still here, that you still have life in you, that your life is meant to be lived. You know, as a black woman, we are usually the last on the list, right? If we even make the list at all. And after the year that many black women have had, have suffered through, have lived through, have had faith through, I thought it was right to acknowledge that pain in a safe place on this podcast. I felt it was right to kind of finish from where we left off, right? Because I was with you guys in 2020. So just to obviously acknowledge the year that has happened. But also, you know, to acknowledge the strength and for those who are still here, who are living with loss, who have lost jobs, who had to learn how to be wives and mothers in a pandemic, who are working to heal from sexual abuse and, you know, failed relationships or friendships. This episode is for us. It's for you, as is this entire platform. And that's why I also love Tatiera's poems, February, and our mantra, you know, from her book, The Blacker the Berry, the Deeper the Blues. You know, because my favorite poem, my favorite line out of her poem, February, is when she says, we forget how being black affects us mentally, because it can, you know, and it does in the social climate that we have been in and lived through. But these pieces for today's episode, it's a manifestation that we are, that we are here to stay. Our culture, our bodies, our lives, our humanity is worthy. And that's why I ended the literature lineup with Shanae Griffith's poem titled I Strut in My Skin, because we have nothing to be ashamed for, you know, ashamed of. Our skin and who we are is not to diminish us or live in fear, but we strut in our skin, you know, in our melanin, in all of its glory. So when you come on this platform, when you tune in, I hope it makes you remember that you are not forgotten. You are not left behind. You don't need to make yourself or your voice smaller. Rather, on this platform, black women actually come together to create community and sisterhood with our stories told in our voices and through our eyes. And as a new tradition starting this season, I have chosen to name each Feature Friday episode after the main feature's work. So, you know, this Friday, I'm just so happy to share with you all my interview with singer and songwriter and activist Chewy, you know, discussing her hauntingly beautiful and articulated work in the form of an EP that is titled Black Skin Lullaby. As I said in the intro, and as I said before, that is the title of this this beautiful episode. So I just hope after this very, very short break that you will continue to tune in and rock with us until the end. All right.
If you are still listening, thank you for tuning in and being a part of the Lost World of Short Stories Feature Friday. Today I have with me singer-songwriter Chewy. Talking about her EP, The Black Skin Lullaby. So hello, Chewy, and thank you for being here.
Hello, Lauren. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. And hi, everybody. I'm Chewy.
Right. If you don't know, now you know.
Now you know.
So to get right into it, I really enjoyed the cover. I always talk about the cover art for every artist that comes on because I just, like I said, I really love the cover, and I'm a big fan of photography and cover art. And so I just want to describe for the listeners real quick before I ask you what it meant and the whole entire thing so they can get a picture if they haven't seen it already. But so it's a little girl, right? And her hair is in plaits, you know, the braids, and she looks like she's taking a bath. Like, you know, like how you would sit in a bath, like I'm pretty sure that's not what she's doing, but she looks like she's taking a bath. And she's looking directly at us, and the background is kind of dark and kind of hazy. And so for my first question was, is it you on the cover? And then can you just tell us about the cover from your perspective?
Sure. Yes. So the cover to Black Skin Lullaby is me at 2 years old. I'm pretty sure, or maybe three.
Okay.
And I am in the back of, my parents used to have this big black van when I was a kid, and like the windows were tinted, and in the back we would sleep there because we would go camping. Wow. And so we were in Wildwood in New Jersey. In the van, and my father took the picture, and so I wanted to use a picture of a child, and I wanted to use, you know, over time I'm thinking about which child I should use, and I'm thinking, you know what, I'm gonna choose me because this is a project that I would like to dedicate to my younger self, so that she understands the implications that she may have to go through in life because of the color of her skin. And it made me also, writing this music and especially Black Skin Lullaby, made me kind of think of myself and also think of my father when he was a kid, or think of my uncles when they were kids, even my boyfriend, and think of them and how I would love to protect them from the world that they are going into, right? So that was the sentiment behind using a child on the cover, myself of course, but even more so any child that is going into the world but that is innocent right now and that you can protect, you know.
Yeah, I love that. That's exactly what I said in my notes, because I was just automatically, when I saw it, I was like, dang, I just see the innocence of a black girl, but not only, like you said, like not only a black girl, but just black youth. Yeah. And how we rarely get to experience innocence and our childhood and black youth, and something that is easily a luxury for everybody else is a place of suffering for many of us. And, you know, when we have to grow up sooner than we wanted to grow up, and where we might not make it past a certain age, or where, you know, as a youth, we're criminalized by the age 5. And so this covered it a lot for me. And going right into the music.
Awesome. I'm happy. It confirms my choice.
Yeah. Yes. I was like, yes, it's so good. Okay, so this was my opinion, but I want you to change, clarify, whatever. That this music is one of activism to me. Would you say in that, and then especially in the time that you wrote it, because you wrote it during COVID, right? Yeah. And so can you just talk about the beginning, I guess, stages of that?
Yeah.
Because your message is very strong and it's very clear.
Yes, it is. And it needed to be. I didn't want to be too abstract on the project. I kind of want it to be a little more literal, which is why I chose to make the music over beats that were more current and that had that trap element, because mm-hmm. I wanted to reach a younger demographic as well. I didn't want them to just tune out, you know what I mean? So yeah. I wanted it to have that hard feeling and that feeling of that hip hop feeling, but still, you know, be saying something like mm-hmm. like we used to say in hip hop back in
right.
the day.
Right. Thank you.
You know, and so I think of myself as an artistic activist, because anything that goes on in my world or in the world of the people that I care about, my community, my friends, my family, yeah. I want to speak about. I really truly believe that as a songwriter and as a musician, you can use your voice to yes, influence the public, but also educate them and educate yeah. people who may not be going through the same reality as you are, or your friends are. A lot of people, white people, wrote to me and said, wow, I can't imagine going through this, but thank mm-hmm. you for appealing to my empathy and appealing to my sense of understanding without yeah. judging or just, you know, pushing it off. I somebody said, you know, I couldn't just brush it off this time. Yeah. The music affected me in a way where I had to listen and I had to look more into this, you know? So, so that's pretty much why I made the project, and I made it in June. I started, I think, in May 2020. And then in June 1st, I think, is when George Floyd was murdered. Yes. So it kind of put fuel in my back to be like, okay, we need to double down on this music and, yeah. and get this project out, because it is really important to tell yeah. our story, you know, so.
Wow. Yeah. Creating with a purpose, everybody.
Yes, so important. So yes. There's so much music out there that just adding to the noise without actually doing something or saying yep. something is kind of, you know.
And there's so much to talk about. And people are struggling in all different ways. And it's like, so you don't want to talk about it through your work. And so, like you said, it was very key that you did this. I mean, you did it for multiple reasons, but it definitely gives back, like you said, to the way we used to create music. So I really appreciate that. This is like a side question into this, but can you talk about the guitar? Because like the sounds of the guitar and like who was on the guitar? Do you play instruments? And
are you talking about Black Skin Lullaby, the song?
Yes.
So I produced it along with my partner Govelius.
Okay.
I don't play the guitar. I use the keyboard.
I just love the sounds. I didn't know which it was. Okay.
Yeah. So the keyboard can become your drum set,
yeah.
become your trumpet. It could become anything. Wow. So in that it was a guitar and I made the production for the project first. And what I was looking for Black Skin Lullaby, other than that trap feeling was exactly that, a lullaby. I wanted it to kind of, put you in that state of, hypnotism, I guess, or like where you're kind of just everything is kind of flowing through you and you're listening and your emotions are wide open and your mm-hmm. heart is open. And I think that instrument in particular definitely brought you there, you know?
I was in like a dream state of just the words and the music.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So before I get into the lyrics of Black Skin Lullaby, I specifically love the title of each song, and it dealt with purpose, and it's as if each one is its own chapter. And can you just talk about how you went about naming each one? And then if it goes into other pieces, we can wait till later, but I just want to know, like, did the titles come before the lyrics or the lyrics before the title? Like, how was that process?
So Black Skin Lullaby, I started singing the hook first.
Okay.
And then, you know, it's actually a Madonna sample, a nod to Madonna's song. My gosh, I forgot the title right now. Because I'm thinking too fast.
Oh, yeah.
I will let you know though, the nod that I use. It's the name is not called Spanish Lullaby, but it's that's Spanish Lullaby. It's like she has this like really dope song, and I heard it as a child, and so I started to say Black Skin Lullaby,
yeah.
and then I was like, oh, that would be so Yeah. No. So as this, you know, dedicated, it's, and then it blew my mind. I was like, oh God. And so I recorded the hook first, and then and then of course when I started to sing that, I was like, yeah, that's the title for sure. Blessed and Lullaby, cool. For Crooks and Castle, I collaborated with Crooks and Castle, the streetwear brand, and had a contest for my followers that are also songwriters to submit a verse or a poem or any lyric that had Crooks and Castle in the lyric, and that was talking about the crooks in the politicians and the crooks in high office and in banking. And I just, you know, wanted them to get creative with Crooks and Castles. And I got so many responses. I think I got 350 people wrote.
Oh my God.
And I ended up picking four, and it turned that into Crooks and Castles. So that's where that title came from.
Okay.
Wild World is a cover. So
yes, right. From Cat Stevens. Yeah.
And I Am a Black Woman came from, sometimes I talk to myself and I, you know, I ask myself interview questions so that I can just, you know.
That's what I do.
Yeah, of course.
I'm almost like, you do? I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure somebody else in the world does that, but it really helps.
I do it too. Yeah. It does help to hear
you. It really does.
To hear the other person ask you the question and for you to answer it and to come up with different ideas when you're answering it.
Yeah.
So in this mock interview in my head, I was asking myself, you know, what makes you a Black woman? You know, I was asked, the person was asking me that, you're mixed, you know, my mother's white and my father's Black. What makes you a Black woman, you know? And, or what right do you have to be a Black woman or to stand up for Black women or people? And I heard the voice of my grandmother saying, I am a Black woman, and I am a Black woman because I come from my grandmother, from a Black woman, and she comes from a Black woman, and she comes from a Black woman. So I was like, I am a Black,
you know? It just,
And so when I heard that in my head, I am a Black woman, I just wrote it down, and then I said all the reasons why I was a Black woman. I'm a Black woman because the blood flows through my veins.
Yeah.
My grandmother's blood, my great-grandmother's blood flows through my veins, and the spirit is in me, you know, so that's, and those were the lyrics that came up first, and then after that, the song flowed. And and for State of the Nation, I'm pretty sure I came up with the title first because I
wrote
the book first, and it was that sentiment is just like, it was a state of emergency type of
sentiment where and I definitely got that.
Now we're pushing, we're we're not going to be docile, we're not apologizing.
Yes,
the bravado feeling.
And then when that song started off too, it's like it's your voice, and obviously, and you're saying it's a repetition of you saying pain, correct? Okay. I was just like, this is some heavy stuff, because it's exactly what we feel just as a community and Black people and all the things that we've been through and continue to go through. And so I really love repetition in any work, because it does a lot to come with a problem and have it in your face one time, but to see it over and over and to experience the lashes over and over. And like I said, it's repeated. And you say in the song that it's time to react, to push back and attack. And, you know, years go by and nothing changes, and that's what you say. And so can you just talk about this just a little bit more, just of that urgency, and then the beginning and how it ended, because you end with the pain too, and you start with the pain and you end with the pain. I just thought that was a beautiful compilation. So,
So the pain part, actually, I recorded on the whim. I was just like, I was about to start recording, you know, or coming up with some ideas.
Yeah.
And I just recorded it, and it was so perfect the first time. I tried to do it again maybe 10 times. I never felt like the first time, because I guess the first time the spirit took hold and I was in the zone, and that was actually pain that was coming through from what had happened with George Floyd at the time. I mean, and everything beforehand had just catapulted. And the way that the pain comes in, it comes in very light, and then it gradually progresses into a place where it's really much louder.
Yes.
And I think that that's the breaking point where now we're over the pain, because I say in the hook, in the verse, or you know, no time for pain. And and so the irony is that we are in pain. We're in pain at the beginning and at the end, but through the middle, we need to swallow that pain and get to work and make things happen and make change happen. And so it's just a reminder that, yeah, we're still in pain. And the pain's not gone, but now is time to react and get going and fight for our lives, you know.
Yeah, I think that's really important what you talked about, especially the fact that when you said, you know, though we are in pain, we do need to get to work. And I think that's the part that a lot of people are starting to understand, you know, that we do have, you know, tears and we do have loss and all of these different things. But when we actually take that anger and that sadness and whatever emotions that we have, and we use it, you know, to fight, we use it for good. And I think, and that takes strength, right? I mean, that takes a lot of strength to be like, yeah, and I'm gonna go out here and use what I have, and despite it all, and I'm just gonna, you know, I'm gonna help us, you know, because it's not just about one person or one family, but we're gonna help us. So I agree.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, help my future children. And
yeah,
future
generational children. Curses. We got to break them.
Yeah, yeah. So it's really important right now to swallow it and organize. And I saw a lot of, you know, beautiful people organizing and taking the time to really research. And I love when people say, I don't know. It's the most powerful thing in the world, because then you can find out and you can learn, you know. So I think everybody should embrace, I don't know.
I love that.
You know, really important.
Yeah. Gosh, I love that. And then, so talking about your song, Crooks and Castles, you're talking about like the politicians and the government, because we know how corrupt that is. And there was one thing you said, which I wanted to clarify for me and anybody else, I guess, who's listening. When you say, let's lock them up for good, is that in the politician's voice talking about Black people, or is that us talking about like they're, or both, corrupt and they need to?
When I said it, it was everyone who's corrupt. It's every cop who has shot a Black man at the time. Yeah. That was what it was about. Breonna Taylor's cops. It was about the banking families that oppress us and don't teach us how to invest our money and how to elevate and buy homes and get out of debt. It's really for the system. It was an overall, you know, lock the system up that is holding us back, you know. But on a smaller scale, not very small, but on a smaller scale, it was for the officers that killed Breonna Taylor. But on a bigger scale, it's everyone who is corrupt and holding our community back, and the communities of countless colored people, or people of color, you know. So
thank you for that. I agree, because I mean, especially the stuff that has happened even this year with, you know, people taking over the Capitol and just learning how to, and seeing it on the news as Black people. And I think a lot of, like you were saying, a lot of white people had reached out to you, or just was like, well, I couldn't ignore the voices anymore. And so your song made that a lot clearer for them. But also too, you know, Black people have been knowing what's going on. You know, it made me think about when I was in school, in college, and I think Trump had just got, you know, became president. And my teacher, who was a white woman, you know, she was like, you know, I was so shocked. And the Black people were like, what? she even said it, because she was so real. She was so honest about it, which is what I loved about her. But she was just like, she was like, you know, when I was talking to other Black women and Black people, and I was like, aren't you shocked? And they were like, no. They're like, things have been happening to us since the beginning. So they're exactly. Like, it has, like,
no, they don't know, like, they genuinely don't,
they don't,
reality, like, it's completely different. So we gotta get them on the same page here and be like, look what's going on, guys, because they're gonna be outraged. So we need
I think some a lot more than we've had are kind of trying to find their place and where they can stand alongside of us.
Sure.
And then as my uncle always says, you know, he's like, somebody better learn something, because it's amazing that Black people just haven't been out on the streets, like, starting a riot, you know what I mean? Like, against the white people in a way that we could have been, that we haven't yet, you know? So, so really just, yeah, yeah. So I'm shocked and I'm learning.
The oppressors are very lucky that the Black spirit is pure as it is.
That's all I'm trying to say.
We are some peaceful folk. I don't know why.
But we mind our business.
Every time I'll see some crazy stuff, and I'll just on TV, on shows, they're trying to mind their business. Everybody just chilling. Why you gotta come over here and mess with us? I mean, all the time, but
yeah. And it's been so many parts where I just like been talking to a white person, and I just want to like pull up a clip from like media or the things that they do and be like, these are your people, so stop talking about ours. Like, this is you. So, you know, people need to hold a mirror up to themselves. And then, okay, so there were different, because I was reading different short articles about your EP as well. And I don't know if you intended it this way or not, but the Wild World cover, the beats are more hopeful than the previous songs that come before it. And I love that you ended with this song. And so can you talk about why this song and what it meant to end with it and just that?
I think from that song, or I should say, from the album cover, I wanted to record Wild World. So I grew up in Montreal, Canada, and we didn't have a hip hop and R&B station when I was growing up. I don't think we still do. I think it was like from Fridays, from 9 to midnight, we get hip hop. So like,
it's so specific too.
9 to midnight Fridays. So that's when you turn your radio.
Oh, wow.
Terrible, but in that I grew up on soft rock music, and Wild World was on the radio on repeat, on loop all the time when I was growing up, and I loved the song. It was a beautiful song, and the lyrics are really meaningful, and it made me feel once again that sentiment of speaking to my younger self, and it was that exact sentiment that kind of closed out the project. It is hopeful. Because you're speaking to a young life, so the future is always hopeful. And I pictured myself singing the song to my younger self and telling her, you know, the world is rough and it's not kind, and this is what you're going to go through. But it can also, it can be a wild world, and it will be a wild world, but it has an hopeful sentiment that because life and the world is beautiful, but it is challenging. So that and the album cover were mixed.
Okay.
Yeah, they had the same sentiment.
Oh, okay. I love that. Did you always know that you were going to, did you always know the type of like singer-songwriter that you wanted to be, I guess? Because a lot of people start off writing completely different music than they do now in terms of like expressing their vulnerability, expressing their actual fears and the way they want to communicate with the world. And did you know your sense of communication in that already at a young age, or did you just jump into it? Because I know some people are fortunate enough to be like, I have a message and this is how I'm going to start.
Yeah, I always found a message, even if it was like through writing about my relationships, about a learning moment in a relationship or whatever. I've always gravitated towards ballads, sad songs, and breakup songs, mostly because they're very honest.
Yeah.
And I really, really respect honesty, especially in music. And that's where I get my chills from and my Yeah, honesty in music is everything to me, and lyrics are my number one thing that I love above all else in music is the word, because you could just say so much in a song with saying so little. So I knew that I always wanted to tell the truth in my lyrics. I started out singing jazz when I was younger, and they're very honest in their music.
Yes,
Billie Holiday, who I fell in love with at a very young age and started to sing like and yes. gravitate towards her music, so she's very, very honest. But I've also experimented with pop and with not saying too much and with dancing and with having a good time, and but I always seem to just gravitate back to saying something with the lyrics, you know. I think it's really important. So yeah, I've always been that kind of writer, definitely.
I love that. Do you, for the lyrics, okay, so like if you were journaling out your emotions, yeah. is that the same thing as you coming into the studio or like wherever you write? Is that the same thing as writing the music as a person would journal? Like, do you have a separate process of creating the songs, is what I mean, of writing those lyrics?
It all depends on each song. Okay. Sometimes I'll go back to the journals that, or notes in my phone that I took, or voice memos. I'll go back and get some of those lyrics that I wrote off the whim or a poem and turn it into lyrics with a melody. A lot of times these days, and especially for Black Skin Lullaby in particular, I sat down, I recorded it myself. So I sat down at my microphone and my studio and pretty much just put the song, the beat on loop, and started to sing melodies and started to have words come in, and then I would write down the words that were coming, and then I would kind of fill them out there. Maybe I change a word because I have enough time to think now and make it better. So, but it pretty much just was coming off the top of my head for that one. And for writing songs, that's actually a great way to do it, because you have the melody, you're singing the melody, and kind of, it's already kind of done for you, as opposed to writing a poem and then putting a melody to it. Then you may have to change a lot because the words may not fit with the melody that you're trying to sing. So, but for this particular one, that's how I did it.
Oh, okay. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. These are just like follow-up questions. I was like, I'm very kind of interested in this.
Yeah, for sure.
And then you came out with a new song just recently.
Yes.
Dance Through the Pain.
Yes.
This, first of all, it's been my anthem for the week. I think I lied to myself. Like, I listened to the song and I was like, this is great. I can totally cut it off. I'm not addicted. And then I just kept going back because I was like, I want to cry. I want to scream. I want to dance. Like, I actually do want to dance through the pain because it has been there, and you know, you have remains of that. And so, and I think literally dancing through it can help you. I mean, like when you get up and physically moving, which is what you're doing in the music video. And so, in short, but it's, you know, it's really just a song that people can that people can vibe to, but also it expresses our culture and kind of like ties into our identity and just, you know, the whole of a Black community. And so what was in the process of this? Because I feel like it was like a segue, but it's also separate as well to the EP that you have. So, because it was a very nice transition when you listened to it, because you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. So how did you... Yeah, I mean, so the song came about, the CEO of my distribution company is also a music producer.
Oh, wow.
We haven't worked together yet. And he was like, hey, I love you guys. Me and my partner, Grovelius.
Yes.
Can you please make a social justice type of song on this beat? If you like it, listen to it, let me know. And so we heard it and we're like, yo, this is really great. I've been wanting to jump on some reggaeton type stuff and do a dance song after doing a lot of like heavy emotional stuff. So I was like, I'm ready for something a little lighter, but still talking about what we're going through as a community, mm-hmm. that never stops. So, so he sent the beat. I started to write on it, and then I got stuck at the hook, and I was like, man, I don't know what to say here. I don't know what melody to write. Like, I like my soulful feeling ballad type song. So I wanted it to really drive, and that's just not, I wasn't in that place, right? You know, so I was like, let me go get Gobelius.
Yeah, because he was jamming. And then when I realized you guys were together, I was like, this is even better. Like,
yes. So I was like, you need to do something here. And he killed it. I love the hook. It was so good.
Yeah.
And then we ended up turning it into a full blown duet. And and the lyrics, we both wrote our parts. I came with some lyrics, and then he wrote the hook, and then we wrote the second half together and recorded it. And then we just were so in love with it. We looked at each other after it was done, and we were like, wow, this is really special. This is right. And also Loco Velocet, who is the producer, loved it and was like, you guys need to shoot a video. We need to put this out. So here you have it.
Yes. I was just like, man, this is exactly what I needed at the start, the beginning of 2021. And then I love when you guys see, like, it's our time to heal. Mm-hmm. That was like the biggest part that spoke out to me, that, like, you know, stood out to me. I mean, and because when I listened to it, and then, you know, like I said, I was coming from your EP, and then, you know, I had transitioned. I was like, oh, okay, she has a new song, like she's about to tell a new story. And then I listened to it, and I mean I literally wanted to cry, because I was like, it is our time to heal, like, you know. So you have that, and it's a lot of emotion when you're trying to find and reclaim your joy. Mm-hmm. And so so thank you for that. I really loved it.
Yes. Thank you. I feel like we definitely captured what we wanted to say in it. It was a dance song, to dance through the pain, and we are in pain, and it can't be ignored, but we also can, like you said, do something about it. And it's not maybe dancing, maybe it's writing, maybe it's painting, maybe it's working out, maybe it's going to talk to your neighbors and making sure they know what's going on, you know. Yeah. So, but the, you know, it's a special song. I really like it, and I hope that it reaches a lot of people.
Yes. And then lastly, what are three things you would tell Black women writers/songwriters?
I would definitely say write as much as possible. Mm-hmm. Because every time you get back to writing, or every time you do it, you get better. But you also learn another part about you that you didn't realize existed. So I try to find as many opportunities as I can to be involved in writing projects. So reach out to other songwriters. They may be working on a song that you can collaborate with. Try to find opportunities that can get you out there and get you working on your craft, and making sure that you're always working on your craft. You know, I think that's really important. And then I think authenticity in songwriting is really, really important. Of course, you can write about anything, and you should be able to, because as a writer, you know, you're a chameleon, and you want to shift emotions. Mm-hmm. But try to find out what your authentic voice is, because no one can write or sing like you. It doesn't matter who it is. Nobody is like you. So you have something really special to offer. And if you can figure out what that is and be authentic to it, then you'll win. It's guaranteed, because no one's ever done it like you. So it's right. You know, so I'd say that. And then if you want to put your music out as a singer, a songwriter, and you want to find, you know, success, hopefully in mainstream, mm-hmm. Just be patient, and, know that you will have to compromise. It's a dirty game, this music industry game, and if you want to be in the big leagues, you'll have to sign a contract, probably giving away the majority of your music, if not all of it, which is why I'm still independent. So realize what you want and how you can get it, maybe without too much compromising yourself, but know that there are rules to this game, and you know, just protect yourself, read your contracts. Even if you want to give it all up, just make sure you read your contracts, take your time to understand what publishing means and why it's so important, because I do truly feel like musicians and artists are the magic of the future, and you want to hold on to your masters and your publishing, yeah, because that's going to be your money in the future, mm-hmm, and not only your money but your asset, and yeah, it's going to be very valuable, not like it is now. I mean, I play in the stock market, and Spotify is supposed to go up, I think, 10 times by the time 2030 comes. Wow. Like, it's gonna be a huge market. Yeah. And you don't want to give up your money maker, you know, so just right, make sure that you really think what that trajectory to success looks like for you, and don't give in to a little bit of money here and there, mm-hmm, just to, you know, so.
Yeah, that was something we definitely, I mean, I learned it outside of school with my parents, because they always knew I was the artist type, but to, you know, to have a value on your work, because, you know, a lot of people who aren't artists, you know, they kind of downgrade us, and they're like, well, I don't, you know, why you want to write music, you want to write books, you want to do this, and it's like, this is kind of how the world runs, though. Like, you watch television, you love music, you know, and it's just like, we help people, you know, move through life in a very beautiful and, like you said, authentic way when we are creating with purpose and with intent, and like you said, it is our moneymaker and it is our asset, but it's also something that we're so weaved into. Like, you know, we leave pieces of ourselves in our work as artists, and our work becomes us in a certain way, or an extension of us, the way that people, you know, come in contact with who we are. And so I think that's very beautiful what you said, because we do need to be aware, and we do need to be cautious as we move through. And like you said, if you want to make it mainstream, and just finding the right, you know, route for you. So yes, thank you. I agree with that as well. And yeah, lastly, you know, just thank you for coming onto the Lost Road of Short Stories. And it's been really lovely talking to you. I want to bring you back.
Oh, yeah. Well, anytime. I might re-release Black Skin Lullaby as a deluxe project. I have 4 new songs that I would like to add to it, plus the song that I just released. So this may happen in April. Ooh, okay. I just want to make sure that I tool it right and I get it right. I'm either thinking about as a new project, or, you know, as a deluxe. And the reason I'm thinking of deluxe is because I just want to get more people to really listen to it, you know, and reach people before I put it away to the side and move on, you know. So so look out for that, guys, and go stream Dance Through the Pain, check out the music video. We did it ourselves. Govelius directed it, and I'm so excited that it's out. And you know, it's the pandemic, so you can't, you know, there are things that you can't do, but I think that we did a good job with the tools that we had, and I'm really happy the way it came out. So go check it out, guys.
Yes. Thank you for listening, everybody, and thank you, Chewy, for being here. And I hope you have a great rest of the day.
Thank you so much, Lauren.
Here. All right. Bye bye.
I hope you guys enjoyed that interview with Chewy. If you haven't listened to her EP, Black Skin Lullaby, it is available everywhere. So on YouTube, Spotify, Pandora, wherever you listen to your music. I really fell in love with this work, and I'm still so excited that she just took time out of her schedule to meet with me and talk about it. I'm always so honored when people are willing to sit down with me and tell me their story. If this was your first time listening to The Lost World of Short Stories, I'm so glad you came, for whatever reason brought you. And I hope you come back for our Wednesday episode, which is a more of a literature psychology nugget. And this season, I have teamed up with my aunt and psychologist, Dr. Carol Van Dyke, to bring you all a five-part series on self-acceptance. The first interview will be on breaking generational curses, and I don't want anyone to miss that. So don't forget to turn on your notifications, add to your favorites, subscribe, and share. This podcast can be another tool for Black girls and women in your life where they can see that they matter. Representation is everything, y'all. Also, if you want to follow me or stay up to date when I post about the podcast, you can follow me on Instagram at Lauren Tate Books. That's LaurenTateBooks. And Facebook at Lauren Tate and LinkedIn at Lauren Tate. And don't forget that you are important, you are loved, and your story deserves to be told.